You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Cheated and they rigged our presidential election, but we will still win it. We will still win it.
That was President Trump in Georgia for a rally in Valdosta, Georgia, Saturday, as a crowd chanting four more years, and you heard him say, they cheated, but we're still going to win. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I want to take note immediately, though, to point out this is December 7th, 2020. And before we wrap up today's program, a special tribute regarding Pearl Harbor and what happened that date. That was their date of infamy, as FDR said, in 1947. And of course, 9/11 became a date of infamy for the modern generation. We must not forget either. So I'm going to spend more time on that before we wrap up today. Now let's get to the Georgia battle issues. Let me point out to you, those of you listening around the Georgia area that you don't live there, but you're trying to get in and get registered because you're not a legal citizen, but you're going to go in and quickly try to apply. This is your deadline. If you don't get in today, you don't get to vote starting next week. We're talking about the Georgia Senate race, January 5. Voter registration in Georgia closes at the end of today. Voting starts 1 week from today. Oh, yeah, there are many, many rushing into Georgia and have been throughout the weekend, probably all through Thanksgiving, while they were told, stay home, stay home. COVID is everywhere. You got to stay home. They were making trips into Georgia, quickly trying to sign up, get registered. I went online earlier today. I thought, I'm going to see if I can register online. And I sure enough, I started going through it. And, of course, it ends up saying, we'll let you know in a few days. You know, it's a felony to register illegally in a state to vote. So I thought maybe I should stop it now just in case. But they're making it as easy as they can, which is all fine and good for folks to have a chance to get to vote if they are legal residents of the state. There are a lot of concerns, obviously, about this election has been stolen. Many don't believe it. Many do. Let me bring you up to date on some of the challenges. I always try to give you both sides. Attorney Sidney Powell suffered losses today in two states, Michigan and Georgia, ruling against her clients in lawsuits challenging the election results in those states. Both cases claiming widespread voter fraud and mistakes having to do with absentee ballots and vote counting. The U.S. District Judge in Michigan said, because the election has taken place and its results have been certified, it's too late to grant an injunction. Did I not tell you to expect that going down the road? In the future, we may prove all of this was a sham and it's a scandal from the beginning. But they'll have to put an asterisk. Come out and say, yeah, that was wrong. It shouldn't have happened, but too late now. On the chief investigator for the Georgia Secretary of State, filing his sworn affidavit stating, or hers, I think, her statement, there was no voter fraud, no mystery boxes brought in. We did an investigation. It never happened like that. But they do admit this. They do admit that some of the folks had left, and when they left, well, then the ballot counting continued. Why do you think GOP watchers, poll watchers would leave if there's still ballots to be counted? Because they were getting the impression it's over for the night. So there's a clear violation. All right, also, we have the Georgia debate between the two candidates. We'll bring you up to that. And for COVID, you need to shut down Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's, everything, And if you're worried about COVID, you need to really be worried about what China is doing, grabbing DNA from around the world. I have a guest expert coming up, and he says the purpose is to create biological weapons. You do not want to miss today's program. Please make sure your family and friends know we're on the air. And, of course, as I said before, we wrap up today, a special tribute regarding December 7, 1947. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The first line of defense is the community, and we really need everyone to do their part to flatten the curve. And that means, of course, wearing a mask, keeping physical distancing, but also so critically at this point, avoiding indoor gatherings. Anyone who has not canceled their plans yet for Christmas and the New Year should cancel their travel plans and absolutely not gather indoors with anyone who's not in their immediate family.
Unless you're a Hollywood elite or a Democrat politician, and you're going to do whatever the damn weather you want because you're telling everybody else, stay inside, lock down. COVID is real. It exists, and yes, people have died. I think the count's around 260,000 in the U.S. now. Every death is important. And we've had 12-plus million testing positive, and numbers going up. I mean, check the latest. I just gave up on it. It means nothing. And many of those who get it never have anything worse than a headache, light fever, maybe lasting a full day, maybe not. Now, I'm not trying to say you should not take precautions. You need to make that decision for yourself. Now, the incoming, the man who hopes to be sworn in January as president, Biden had said, why don't you consider wearing a mask for the first 100 days that I'm in office? Why 100 days? Yeah, it's just a number he pulled out. It means nothing. It means nothing more than simply telling all the restaurants in various areas, you have to shut your door at 10 p.m. because at 10:01, the plague will fall over the city. And you cannot dine indoors. You have to sit outside. Oh, it may be under a tent with flaps down to keep you warm and a heater in it. So you're dining inside, outside, but you're not inside. You're outside, inside. You got it? Is there any reason the American public should not be confused, concerned, and saying, finally, you've cried wolf so many times, I don't know what to believe. And I'll just not even going to bother. So when I hear this statement from the, you heard Dr. Leanna Nguyen, CNN medical analyst, claim and state, absolutely, do not gather indoors with anyone who's not in your immediate family. Now, that means immediate family. I guess it means those who are living in the same household. Well, grandmother lives next door. No. She's not in your household. What, just across town, my sister? No. They're not in your household. Well, she meant Christmas. I'm Jewish. I'm celebrating Hanukkah. No. Hanukkah, too. Well, I'm not either religion. I'm just going to have a good time on New Year's Eve. No. Not on New Year's Eve. Nothing. Do you have any idea how much money is going to be lost this New Year's Eve for hotels, motels, bands, caterers? We've destroyed the country pretty much at this point. We are being driven at this point more by fear. And I've got an article in front of me here that came from National Review that states it this way. Reporters ignored good news, mangled the facts, and stoked panic. And some people, but probably not reporters, will pay for it with their lives and livelihoods. That remark, probably not reporters, is not mine. That's actually as part of the title of this piece written by John Fund. Media-driven fear has warped our COVID response. Well, before we continue, let me tell you something that just happened. I saw this cross earlier. I didn't have a chance to get more detail until now. President Trump is expected to sign an executive order tomorrow that will ensure all Americans have access to the coronavirus vaccine before we begin aiding nations around the world. The president is saying, my priority is America first. Oh, there he goes again. Being nationalist, xenophobic. Let all the brown and yellow people around the world die. But in our country, we take care of America first. That doesn't mean that other countries won't find their own avenues to get it. But what he is saying, that the Pfizer-BioNTech authorization could come as early as Friday, and a source close to the White House said, the idea is to get the virus vaccine, I should say, out as quickly as possible to America first. And, of course, then decide who in America gets it. We already talked about that. You're going to look at frontline workers. Those are highly vulnerable, of course, on the nursing homes and so forth. There will be flack. You watch it. They'll be coming unglued on the mainstream media. Oh, my God, he doesn't care about the rest of the world. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not what he said. His priority is he's president of the United States. Let me put it this way. How many times you've been watching something, you see children in some far distant world, they're obviously suffering. My God, they're suffering, and your heart breaks for them. And you may send some dollars. You may even work with some relief. You may even go on a mission trip to go help them. That's great. But are you not going to take care of your family before you do any of that? Really? Not such a hard question to answer, is it, for you? We just had Thanksgiving, obviously. There was travel. I was one of the ones. I'm jumping on a plane. I'm going to Texas to see my brother and his family. I flew out of St. Louis into Dallas. That day was not particularly busy at either airport, because going into Thanksgiving, folks can maybe go the morning I did, or the afternoon, or that night, or the next morning early. So they have a variety of times that they may choose to fly. Coming back Sunday, wall-to-wall people everywhere, wearing masks, taking precautions. I don't know what they did. I know what I did. I joined my brother and his family, and he fried a turkey and served wild turkey. I was as happy as I could be. Did pick up a few pounds. I'm now trying to lose again. But Dr. Nguyen, the CNN medical analyst, is saying, Larry, well, she's not saying me specifically, but she might as well. If you were part of those who went out and you did all of this stuff that you just described, we're getting ready for a surge, and the surge is going to be really, really, really bad.
The incubation period for COVID-19 is up to 14 days. The average is about 5 to 7 days. And so what that means is we had Thanksgiving and people returning from Thanksgiving about a week ago. So this week, we're going to see the impact of that Thanksgiving surge. We're going to see increases in hospitalizations, and hospitals are already on the brink. So where is the reserve capacity? Where are patients going to be going at this point? I'm also deeply concerned about deaths going up. At some point, we're going to be surpassing 3,000 deaths per day, maybe even 4,000 deaths per day.
Now, that number is sobering. 3,000 deaths a day. I think Biden the other day said by the time, I think he said maybe by the end of January, I don't remember the time date, but he said we're going to have another 200,000 deaths before whatever the date was. I stress to you again, COVID is real. Precautions are needed. Most of it should be decided by you and your family and what you're doing, because the experts still don't really know. You want an example of it? Members of the White House Coronavirus Task Force clashing just today with lockdown orders in California. Governor Gavin Newsom imposing a strict stay-at-home order over the weekend. The state fell below 15% capacity in intensive care units. He warned last week, I'll trigger that lockdown if they dip under that. Now, this is also, by the way, the most restrictive order since March. Now, March, they closed hair salons, except for Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry. Bars and indoor dining and allowed retail, but cut it back to 20% capacity. Going into the Christmas holiday. Fauci, that President-elect Joe Biden is tapped as a senior medical advisor, said today that he told California authorities he agreed with their move to impose the new lockdowns. So he said, you know, you don't really have any choice. Now, this is the same doctor the mainstream media will go to when he says something they like. If he says something they don't like or is against what they have been preaching, yeah, they ignore him. Now, I would remind you very simply. Dr. Fauci, in the beginning, said masks won't really do any good. Now, again, we still don't know if he said that because that's what he believed, or at the time he was trying to keep everybody from grabbing up all the personal protection equipment, such as masks, before they could get supplies to hospitals and places that needed it. Never gotten a clear answer on that, but that's what he said. Then later changed, yeah, you got to wear a mask. And then he's featured in a stadium with three or four people around him with his mask off. He wasn't drinking, he wasn't eating, just sitting there talking and laughing. So what are we supposed to believe? The Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services, who's also a member of the White House Task Force on Coronavirus, said, quote, I haven't seen any data that says you need to shut down outdoor dining or indoor dining. I'm sorry, let me correct that. Outdoor dining or outdoor bars. He said, we do want to limit the indoor crowded places to help turn the pandemic. But anything else is counterproductive. Again, the science does not support shutting down outdoor bars and dining. And again, according to this member, the Assistant Secretary for Health and Human Services, he is, says the science does not support limiting indoor dining and bars either. He said many restaurants have taken tremendous measure to distance tables, add plexiglass. That's correct. They have. I'm sure if you've been in one at all, you can't sit there. That table's already marked. No one can sit there. And then we have some counties that have made it extreme restrictive, even though the business owners have gone to the extra extent to what they can and money they didn't really have to spend, but that's the only way we can open. We'll do it. They brought in this plexiglass, reconfigured everything, still operating on a reduced capacity. And that's still not good enough for some, like in St. Louis County. St. Louis County is adjacent to St. Charles County. In St. Charles County, I was in a restaurant slash bar. People were everywhere. There was a long table of 20 kids sitting behind me. It just came from soccer practice or going to soccer. They're all eating, laughing. Now, it didn't bother me. No one had a mask on once you go in. You have to wear the mask to your table and you just take it off. That would not be what everyone should do, obviously. If you have any concerns or vulnerability, you need to be aware of it and take the precautions. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not telling you what to do. But the point is, as often as we've heard the cry, wolf, that now folks are saying, you don't know what you're talking about anyway. I'll make my own decisions. And I mentioned a moment ago, this article in National Review, the media-driven fear warped our COVID response. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I want to break that article down for you. I think many of you will certainly agree that, yeah, we've been kind of sold this thing, and we all should be just absolutely frightened. Or should we? Coming up, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder,
thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder, thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So once again to this, a piece by John Fun, written for the National Review, about how the media has been scaring the hell out of everybody. He begins by quoting President FDR in his inaugural address, 1933, at the bottom of the Great Depression. He says, "So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified fear." I know you've heard parts of that quote before. Maybe you didn't know the source originally. Well, a new National Bureau of Economic Research paper says the media in the U.S. has gone way too far and created a climate of fear and even panic. The paper is entitled, "Why is All COVID-19 News Bad News?" Scholars from Dartmouth and Brown University analyzing COVID-19-related stories and articles since January 1. Here's what they found. A big difference in how the U.S. media covered the pandemic compared with media in other countries. The author stating 91% of stories by U.S. major media outlets are negative in tone versus 54% for non-U.S. major sources, 65% for scientific journals. Stories of increasing COVID-19 cases outnumber stories of decreasing cases by a factor of 5.5, even during periods when new cases are declining. Now, you know why? You know why they did that in this country? Trump was in office. Yeah. I'm listening to a report to NPR yesterday. Yes, I listen to anything and everything. I listen to a lot of material. And they had a guest on talking about the TED Hour program or something of that nature. I didn't catch a guest name. But they were talking about, you know, how COVID's been handled and so forth. And they could not help. The guests could not restrain themselves except to say, well, we haven't really handled this as a nation as we should have with this administration. Just had to stick that in there. Has anyone come forward and said anything they would have done different than Trump did? And in fact, they were against what he did in the beginning. Has anyone at all come? No, no, it's all second guessing. Oh, Biden's claiming, I got away. We're going to do it. We left plans in there. Obama and I left plans and they ignored them. Biden was one of the ones going around the beginning saying Trump was xenophobic because he was shutting down flights from China. This article also points out the amazing inability to report accurately on development of the vaccine. Partly, it points out that an announcement was already coming out that in Oxford Mail, a vaccine was being developed, could be given by the scientists' existing work in a vaccine. That comment coming out in Feb saying it could be done rapidly. New York Times, Washington Post, Fox News, CNN, other major outlets did not even begin covering that related work until late April. And then kept saying it's a very, very small chance of it. There's a summation or two here I want to share on this. Because I think when I read it, you're going to nod your head and say, yeah, I agree. I agree exactly. And there's some other points about the California shutdown and vaccine in New York State. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So back again to this piece by John Fun, writing for National Review, titled Media-Driven Fear Warped Our COVID Response. Now, I've already outlined for you as to how often mainstream media in the U.S. portrayed good news regarding COVID versus bad, and especially when you compare U.S. news media to major news sources around the world. Let me state very quickly again, 91%, again, the study that he is reporting in the National Review was done by, let me get it here in front of me again, scholars from Dartmouth College and Brown University looking at the news coverage. 91% of the stories by U.S. major media news outlets negative in tone. 91%. And again, when it came to reporting the possibility of a vaccine coming, the Oxford Mail had reported in Feb 18, that a professor at Oxford at Jenner Institute had a vaccine that could be really coming out very quickly. That was in Feb. You know when the mainstream media picked it up? That would include Fox News, by the way. Not until late April. Instead, at that point, also adding various caveats. Well, don't count on it yet. In other words, stay fear. And when it came to reopening of schools, the study also found this kind of stuff. The reporting, and I'm quoting from the study now, the reporting is overwhelmingly negative, while the scientific literature tells a more optimistic story. The reporting is overwhelmingly negative. From the same people who tell us all the time, follow the science, believe the science about global warming and everything. And scientific literature at that time, when they're saying it's we got to close everything down, well, scientific literature was more optimistic. And Dr. Fauci, again, has been all over the board. Well, I never really thought we should shut down the schools. I mentioned the other day, we have a crisis coming, and we don't know how bad it's going to get yet. We have a crisis coming of all these kids have lost this time, not just in education and learning, but social relations, and it's going to take a toll down the road. You watch. There'll be more stories on it, and the first ones to jump on it will be the liberal media. Oh, my God, look what's happening to the kids. Well, who the hell was pushing the story that they should all be locked down on a constant basis? And refuses to accept that, yeah, we can begin to open up. The kids are not the issue. There's a California assemblyman. He's a Republican. I always want to make sure you understand the source. He is warning that Governor Newsom's latest shutdown. Well, here's what he's saying. Every state is experiencing a surge, which begs the question, how do these shutdowns actually reduce cases? The Republican assemblyman, Gallagher, says businesses and school-aged children are going to suffer. They're absolutely going to suffer. He said children subjected to distance learning are struggling, suffering from mental health effects. That's based on a study from a nonprofit group. The California Partners Project found prolonged social isolation may be damaging teenagers' social growth, stating, according to the congressman, I should say state representative, I've seen 8 suicides in one of my counties among youth. 8. Said it's a public health crisis no one's talking about. Our schools have to be reopened. And we're not just talking now about learning. We're talking about their mental state at this point. We know adults are having a difficult time, so it's only stands to reason that many children are, especially if they're surrounded by everyone trying to induce more fear. The Japanese suicide rate is accelerating. And when we get to the idea that we have a vaccine coming, that there will be things that will be good for us at some point. Again, this study by Dartmouth and Brown scholars found that the mainstream media just didn't do much about reporting it. The Foundation for Economic Education concludes, and we're talking about also elective surgeries, either canceled by either patients or hospitals scheduled to conduct them. It states, basic virology went out the window as 15 days to flatten the curve developed into a mad idea. We must close down society and shelter from the virus, unleashing unprecedented restrictions on economic freedom, destroying untold numbers of lives and livelihoods in the process. And also pointing out, millions of children have skipped their routine vaccinations this year. The ones they normally get for highly contagious diseases, measles, whooping cough, polio. They're not getting into the doctor to get those vaccines because everybody's shutting everything down unless you have a COVID or it's an emergency. So kids are not getting the vaccinations for those. Now, what do you think that's going to lead to? John Fund concludes his article in the National Review by citing, going back to quoting FDR, we have, as he said, and I'm quoting directly, let me assert my firm belief the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror. That was from FDR in his inaugural address in 1933 at the bottom of the Depression. And John Fun of the National Review says those warnings against unreasonable fear are viewed as one of the great acts of leadership in U.S. history. Sadly, the power of fear this year overcame his good example with too much of the media and the American people. You want another example, which has to raise questions about, well, what do we know? What are we really doing? We're told a vaccine is coming. I said a moment ago, President Trump is making sure an order goes out that we're going to make sure we take care of Americans first before we start shipping vaccine around the world. Now, if they're getting it from another source, that's up to them. But he is going to, as he swore to do when he took the oath, protect this nation. And, of course, we've had governors such as Cuomo and others say, we're not going to get anybody. We don't want it. We don't want it because Trump had something to do with it. It's going to be dangerous. And there they go. They again strike more fear. So when it comes out, folks that probably would do well with it and could have it, they're thinking, well, should I take it? I mean, look what Governor Cuomo said. And, of course, then on the other side, you got the media saying Trump is scaring everybody away from the vaccine as well. No, he's not. He's saying it's being properly tested. But in New York City, a survey of about 1,000 out of the 2,000 firefighters in the union, the Uniformed Firefighters Association. The question, will you get the COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer when the department makes it available? Out of those 2,000 surveyed, the total number would be something like 8,200. Out of those 2,000 surveyed, 55% said, no, not going to. Mayor Bill de Blasio, New York City, said, we're fine-tuning the approach for the vaccine distribution plan. High-risk health care workers, nursing home workers, residents will be among the first to get the jabs. Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, says, New Yorkers are a skeptical bunch. I don't blame them. I'm skeptical. I would not ask any New Yorkers to take a vaccine that I would not take myself. Well, did he take it or will he? Not very clear. The situation with this vaccine, I mean with the COVID, is real, but at some point, do you just have to say, I can't live in that kind of fear all the time? I want to share a story with you from my days in television. The promotion department is always looking for a way to promote a story to have the audience listen. I mean, they were coming up all these snappy little teases and so forth. And one of them I was given to read was deadly crash at Lambert Airport. I said, what? I said, there's a small plane that flipped over from the backwash of a jet. And only one person was on board. Yeah, but it's a deadly crash at Lambert. Yeah. But when you say that, we think of jetliner down, don't we? Or something like that? I refused to do it. They went to complain to management. By that time, we were on the air with it, and I didn't do it. Tough luck. You ran out of time. Well, I got another story like that. As to how there's an effort many times to try to scare you because we want you to watch. This is a classic. Everybody in the business will certainly recognize it. Stand by, please. So we're talking about how the media will sometimes grab onto something to scare the hell out of you because then maybe you'll watch and you'll pay attention. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. You got to know the story. And the details and specifics I was giving you from a scholarly report composed by Brown and Dartmouth professors in the previous segment. If you missed details of that, make sure you go back to Larry Connors USA Facebook and when it goes up as a podcast later today. And also share it with your friends. Because they should hear those stats. It's pretty amazing. But, as I said, this happens all the time in the media. And I have, in 50-plus years in electronic journalism, been part of it to the extent I would allow myself. Other times I said, no, that's too far. We had a new promotion person show up at one of the television stations, and they were trying to do, they thought, if we can pump the numbers, if I can get the numbers up, I'll look really good. Now, I told you how one had come to me previously and said, You need to run this tease, the story teasing deadly crash at Lambert Airport. When all it was, and it's still a loss of life, a single-engine plane taxiing out on the runway got hit by the back blast of a jet taking off and flipped over, and the pilot was killed, the only person on board. But again, if I say deadly crash at Lambert, you get the impression a jetliner went down. I can still justify it, say there's a deadly incident at Lambert. Not even really a crash, but it's true, but it's not really the fact as it exists, is it? Such as this new promotion manager who came in one day, and I saw the copy, and I tried to stop it going on the air, but someone's already out there doing it, and it read, there's a deadly, let me see how to phrase, let me phrase this, there's a death, a deadly thing outside your house every day waiting for you and your children. What? Something of that nature. I don't remember if that's exact wording, but details at 10. There's a deadly monster outside your house every day for you and your children. Details at 10. I gotta watch that. What is that? You know what it was? What it was the sun. The sun can cause cancer and lead to death, skin cancer. Yeah. See, that's what happens on a regular basis in some newsrooms and operations. And that's why this report a moment ago about how U.S. media has shown 93% to 94% of their stories about COVID is negative versus 55% across the world, it tells you everything. You want another example, more recent example? There's a California restaurant owner that's had to close down. They're not allowed to be open, you know, because of all these COVID-19 restrictions. They're losing money. They say, we need the money. I'm trying to help our people and myself, our business. No, you got to shut. Well, we can do outdoor dining. No, you can't do outdoor dining either because of the pandemic. And they said, well, wait a minute, just across the street there, look, right over there, there's a tent set up. There are tables and chairs right across the street, basically, and they're serving food to people coming and sitting down. It was a TV production crew. They had to feed the crew. They were on the job, so then they brought in a tent and let them be. They could eat outside. But the restaurant across the street couldn't open up and let them, hey, you come over here and we'll give it to you a real good price, and I know it won't be totally free, but you'll help us out too. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. When NBC News station out there was reporting on it, NBC Sunday Today, running a story about businesses suffering, they pointed out this particular restaurant. And, of course, the TV crew across the way. They did not mention NBC, I guess, what do you think, just forgot? That the catering was for an NBC comedy show, Good Girls. They didn't bother reporting that it was their own network doing that while they're talking about the hardships of businesses having to shut down in the COVID. Did not mention it. The New York Times did do it. Point out the production required catering is only a few feet away from the shuttered Pineapple Hill Saloon and Grill, where they were trying to be open and told you can't serve inside or outside. So they just didn't bother giving that extra little piece of fact that our own network is the one that's doing it. Is there any reason why people should trust the media nowadays? And if you're worried about COVID, and you should be to an extent, obviously, for you and your family, that's your decision, then I've got a tease that'll scare the hell out of you coming up in the next hour. Do you know what China is doing right now in collecting DNA from around the world? And this is a fact. But I'm not going to tell it to you now because I want you to listen to the next hour. Believe me, you do want to hear the next hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.